Now, Peter and his partner, Aisling, have finally gotten home from Dubai. You'll have heard him on with Neil on at least one occasion, two occasions, actually, that I heard during the week. And Seamus got onto Love Holidays and sorted Peter promptly. And Peter, I now believe, is enjoying a mug of coffee at home with some great home comforts. Good morning, Peter Quirk.
Good morning, Mick. How are you keeping?
I'm good. I'm only sorry that Neil isn't here. He's off in a couple of days, Holliers, and it's...
I hope to Dubai he's gone.
I don't think so. But anyway, I know you'll want to thank him personally, but it's the team behind the scenes as well that do the cajoling on your behalf. But you were sorted promptly. For those who didn't hear the original story, Peter, can you bring us back to the start? You were out there on a bit of a jolly up, and suddenly you'd no way home.
Yeah, myself and Aisling, we flew out on the 26th of February on a Thursday. We were staying for 1 week. We were to fly home again the following Thursday on the 5th of March. We got there late Thursday, kind of early Friday morning. Everything was okay as normal. And Saturday we went to the beach, and as I said to Neil, we were just lying on the beach. Everything was normal, peaceful. We were having a great time. The sun was blazing. The sky was crystal clear. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. And next thing we heard these two big massive bangs. I turned around to Aisling and I said, that couldn't be thunder by any chance, would it? Done the cloud in the sky, nothing. And with that, then we saw this missile, which we hadn't a clue what it was, to be honest with you. And it was intercepted and it just broke up in the sky with a puff of smoke. People started running back to... indoors, really. It was a private beach, you see. So they started running indoors, people screaming, panicking, and then when we got bussed back to our own hotel, we found out what was happening.
And what was happening?
It was surreal, to be honest with you.
Was there many more missiles flew over Dubai at that time? They were very targeted, I think, on infrastructure.
It was. There was a lot of them passing over, but they didn't break up over our heads or land. There was two of them, I think, landed by Dubai Airport.
Yes.
There was a bit of damage done to the airport. That's why it kept opening, closing, and that Qatar airspace was locked down completely then. So there was no flights in or out.
Okay, when did you find out you couldn't get back?
We kind of left to go for maybe a day or two, and then we were checking our airlines and Qatar Airlines. We both had the apps on our phones, and they kept saying our flights were going ahead. And then the following day, we'd get all your flight is delayed, and then maybe a couple of hours later, then it was cancelled, and it went on for five different times. So we knew then that we weren't getting out of there.
Okay, and were you flying Qatar out of Dubai or flying Qatar out of Doha or what?
It was Qatar Airlines, and we were flying from Dubai back to Doha, and we were getting a connecting flight in from Doha to Dubai. Okay. And I think a lot of people were saying, because Doha was the problem, that they weren't accepting any flights.
Okay. So there might have been some Emirates flights going, but not your hopper, if you like, to Doha, so you could pick up your long haul.
Yeah, we were flying with Qatar Airways, and they were doing nothing. They were absolutely grounded completely because we got no information off them. Aisling, myself, we kept ringing, sending emails, and no response whatsoever.
Okay, and you tried Love Holidays as well. A lot of the travel companies are bound by an international insurance convention, which would dictate all bets are off if there's a war.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had our own travel insurance anyway. So I contacted...
Useless in a war.
Useless. And we were put on hold for maybe 45 minutes. And when we eventually got through, it was to an office in London. No, an office in Nottingham in England. And we were just hitting our heads off brick walls because he said, no, we've no insurance. It's not being covered because the war broke out. And then we Googled it, and it's true. Actually, there's no insurance company covers the breakout of war. So the insurance is of no benefit to us anyway.
Okay, but the Emiratis, if you like, those in power in the Emirates, were very generous, certainly in Dubai, in regard to accommodation feeding people over there.
No. It started off in Abu Dhabi, and the government were paying for everything there. So we had... a text message from And I would assume it would have been the their government stating that the General Civil Aviation Authority confirmed that the government were going to pay for all hotel accommodation and meals for over 20,000 people. So that didn't happen.
Well, that's a drop in the ocean compared to the number of tourists.
Yeah, I know, but we had to pay for everything. Our own hotel, which the people like were so nice and giving, they gave it to us at a very, very low cost rate because they knew we were stuck out there. And that was including breakfast as well. But no, we had to pay for everything.
So okay, what sort of pressure were you under financially?
Throw us a few bobs.
Obviously, there's a you can't go back to work situation. What sort of pressure did you come under financially? Did your work understand?
Well, I'm self-employed.
All right, okay, so you understood.
But I was out of pocket, obviously.
Obviously, you're not able to work to make money.
No, yeah. And and my partner, she works as well. So and she had to just, you know, sort out her own arrangements with her employment. So, no, we were out of pocket, all right. But look, the main thing is we wanted to get home. We've kids at home. We had to get home. We only went for a week and we ended up two.
Yeah, home is y'all, is it?
Rathcormac.
Oh, okay. Will you all be as far as you'll go then?
I tell you, we'll invest in a little mobile home down there.
How did you find Dubai? Did you go and see the sights downtown?
We did. We went for the sunshine and we went for the sights. It was beautiful over there. Like the structure is unbelievable. The buildings, amazing. The people, very friendly. I couldn't knock it any other way. But we had nothing to do while we were there, only go to the beach because everything was shut down.
Okay,
even
so
at the last couple of days, it was like a ghost town walking around the place.
Okay, so the Burj Khalifa and that centre downtown was closed off, was it?
It was, yeah. We managed to get to Dubai Mall, which is a huge, huge shopping centre. Like, but you'd want to be a multimillionaire to buy anything inside.
You find bargains there. Do you know that entire downtown was built in what was once the garden of the Sheikh? Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum. And downtown, if you look at the Palace Hotel, that was his residence.
All right.
Yeah, it's all built in his back garden.
We didn't get that far, no, Mick, to be honest.
did you got to see the Burj Khalifa and the fountains up close anyway, yeah?
We did, yeah. Look, we saw a good few things. But it could have been better for the week that we were there. We were hoping to cramp in a lot of things, but we just obviously things were closed down over what happened over.
Yeah. What was the mood amongst other tourists? Did you meet other people who were stranded?
We did. We met Germans, a lot of English, French. They were, you know, peed off because they couldn't. They were in the same boat as us. They couldn't get information from their airlines. They couldn't get information about how they were going to get home or anything, or from their own government. I think the English, excuse me, I think the English had a lot of problems with their government as well, trying to get registered and things.
Okay. Did it cost you to come home?
It didn't cost us to come home because of Red FM.
Okay, and Love Holidays.
Love Holidays picked up the bill, but the reason they picked up the bill is because there was pressure and publicity put on them through Red FM. And I'm saying that as my opinion.
Okay. Well, to be fair to them, and I did hear Neil say it yesterday, they've never come up short when he's asked them for assistance.
When he's asked
them. We have to recognise that as well.
Yeah. Yes, but Mick, when he asked them.
Okay. Can we go?
And the reason I'm saying is we were on the phone to him over and over and over. We were emailing him and we were getting over.
All right.
But the minute, and I mean the minute Red FM got involved, everything was sorted. So that's not a coincidence.
All right. Well, Seamus is the guy who makes those calls and makes the case on your behalf. I'm glad it all worked out so well. You went through Birmingham.
We did.
That's a nice airport, isn't it?
No, it is a tiny little place. But look, it's under renovation, so we didn't see much of it.
It used to be nice.
We flew from Dubai into Birmingham. At 6:40, we were meant to leave Dubai. But unfortunately, then a lady got ill on the plane. So we were sitting in our seats, actually, on the runway for 2.5 hours before the plane even took off. We were meant to arrive in Birmingham at 11:40 to get a connecting flight with Aer Lingus to Dublin. But obviously, we missed out on that. So there was fierce confusion in trying to get another flight from Birmingham to Dublin. And we were back onto Love Holidays. And to the same thing, it was just, you know, put on hold. We were being put through to this office, to that office. We were meant to get an email then to say that the flight from Birmingham to Dublin, and that email didn't even come through. Tis Aisling had to sort all that out herself then afterwards.
But all's well that ends well. You're home now in the Roscommon.
Oh, 100%. And I would love to thank Red FM and on behalf of myself and Aisling. We're delighted to be back. And it was Red FM that did it.
Okay, but we have to thank Love Holidays because they help us.
Yes, obviously, because they picked up the bill for us. But we'd have still been there today, 100%, if it wasn't for your show.
Okay. I would imagine Dubai, up to now, it's been heralded as the safest city in the world. You'll never see a crime there because deportation is the... Lifetime deportation is the crime, or is the punishment for a misdemeanor there. But I just wonder, what are your thoughts on... Dubai depends on tourism. It's the crypto capital of the world. It relates, or it attracts huge inward investment. A massive travel hub through the DXB airport. They're now building Al Maktoum for $35 billion, which will make it an even bigger transport hub to the rest of the world. And it depends, a lot of its economy depends on property sales. But these all depend on one thing. Well, outside of sunshine, right? It depends on one thing, and that one thing is stability. That stability has now been taken from Dubai and from the Emirates in general until this war stops. Do you see Dubai suffering?
I'd say for a short term, yes. But every single second building over there, Mick, is a building site. Like, if we went back there even in 12 months' time, it would be so different.
It's changing all the time, yeah.
Constant. It's constantly changing. And you go back to what you said there about being safe. We were talking to a lot of taxi drivers, and they're all coming over from, say, India now, Pakistan, getting jobs there. And they said it is the most safest place to be, even for women at night. Even the ladies would tell you it's so safe there. We saw, on the first 4 days, we didn't see a police car or a jeep, or we didn't see any police. It's all kind of security. You'd see lads in security uniforms outside, with just restaurants, eateries outside, shopping centres. You'd never see police anywhere. And it was only towards the end of the 2 weeks that we were there, you'd see a police jeep drive up and down. But everyone was saying you could leave your bag of money on the floor and come back in an hour. They'd still be there. There'd be no one touch it.
I can tell you a story. I don't know what the cash was for, but I met a guy one time at a hotel in Dubai. And he said, no, I'll tell you a story that tops all. Now, a lot of this is to do, just to give you a preamble here, a lot of this to do is everything you do in Dubai, I would imagine, is under camera. Now, not the privacy of your room or anything like that, but in all public areas, and there's facial recognition and all of that. You can see how advanced their passport control is with the facial recognition and all that kind of thing. Anyway, this guy, I didn't really have the temerity to ask him what the cash was for, but he had $30,000. Let's just say he was doing a property deal and he was late for the auctioneer. And he brought the $30,000 in a bag down to breakfast and put it on the table so he'd watch it, and then suddenly realised he'd forgotten his phone. So he went up, grabbed the phone, and now the taxi was buzzing the phone. I'm outside, the Uber or whatever, and he dashed down, got in the cab and went to the auctioneer with no money. And horror of horrors when he arrived there, oh my God, I left 30 grand on the breakfast table. He dashed back to the hotel, another Uber, ran into the thing. The first person he met had seen no $30,000. He went to the table. The bag was gone. He went to reception. What did they tell him?
That the money was above in his room.
The money was above in his room. He'd left it at the table. I would believe it now,
yeah, because it is very safe over there. And I felt very safe over there, to be honest with you. Even with what was going on, it was still like just a holiday. Only a lot of places were closed down.
Yeah.
People were getting on with their business. They were, you know, towards the end of the night, a lot of the restaurants were closing. And you could see that it was empty. Like, a lot of places were empty. The night before myself and Aisling left, we saw people walking back with chef's uniforms on them at 6 o'clock in the evening. they had no work. Yeah. They had to go home.
You can only hope that the stability that the area requires, and you know, and the financial and economic clout they have across the world, will put pressure on this to be a short war, a short excursion, as the president of the United States called it. Because without stability, that area is knackered.
Oh, it's gone, yeah. They do need... I know there's a load of wealth over there. You'd see that on... Especially their cars. People driving around in Ferraris and Porsches and all these fancy cars. Rolls Royces. We saw a Rolls Royce parked outside on the street. Wide open. It was a convertible.
And you could leave the keys in it.
Yeah, and it was gold. Everything was gold. I'd say worth about 300,000 euros. Just parked it.
Yeah, and I love their car registration system as well. The lower the number you are, the more important you are. Sheikh Al Maktoum has number one, and I think he has 1A up to 1Z, and maybe 2 and 3 as well. Then his family get 4, 5, 6, right up to, and the government have 101, 102. And if you don't have a 6-digit number, it's a 3-digit number, you are seriously powerful. Anyway, rambling on. Peter, it's great to have you home. I'll send your thanks on to Neil.
On behalf of myself and Ashling, thanks very much for Red FM. He should be called Red Airways, in fairness to you.
Thank you very much, Peter Quirk, home from Dubai.
Thanks.